My name is Ryan Rebecca Taylor, and I'm a candidate for Ohio House District 40. I currently teach at Wright State University in the Department of Human Services in the College of Education and Human Services. I teach undergraduate students about rehabilitation services, and that's the degree program. And so what I do is I teach them how to work with others. We have several hundred students in the program. I'm an advisor and I teach. So I teach them rehabilitation resources, which is how to network and grant writing, also about the resources in our community. I teach students how to work with people with developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, veterans, homeless populations, so that they'll go forward and walk next to people as they have their time of need. And usually those students stay in the area and they work in one of the 4,000 area nonprofits, or they go on to pursue their master's degree.
And that's you received certification in that field. How long from graduation did you start teaching at Wright State?
Immediately after I graduated with my graduate degree, I began teaching. I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor, which I also used to do. So I worked with people who work in workers' compensation and had had injuries. And I'm also a qualified mental health counselor as well. I do work part-time doing intakes at a acute rehabilitation hospital. So if you have a stroke or a hip replacement and you're going for long-term therapy, then I will help devise the plan for you to receive that therapy.
How did you get into that line of work, or how were you drawn to it?
Well, my sister had a developmental disability, and we were very close in age. And so I learned from a very young age how to advocate for her. And professionally, as I grew, I worked with other adults who had developmental disabilities when I became of age to work, of course, and worked in group homes and worked with people with mental health diagnoses, and it continued to be of interest to me. And so I received my bachelor's degree in actually rehabilitation services at Wright State University. And then I had a wonderful teacher there who really encouraged me and got some experience working in the chemical dependency field with visits, site visits, and through his guidance, and decided to pursue my master's degree in rehabilitation counseling chemical dependency with an additional licensure for mental health.
So I would imagine that you're very much aware and tuned into what's going on with the opioid crisis today in the Miami Valley and across the nation.
Yes, very tuned in. In fact, I was just reading my emails for the professional organizations that I'm a part of for what's coming up and what's new in the research on those fields and what is currently being enacted across the country. So yes, I continue to keep up with my licensure, but it's more of what can we do here in the Miami Valley and how can we work to better our population and improve quality of life? And I've done that. I wasn't planning on going into politics. This wasn't a plan. I'm the person who's usually behind the camera, like getting people in the room and here's a great grant idea. And, you know, how can we move the community forward? And a part of that was working with people who struggled with opioid addiction and their families and the education system and the children. And so when this opportunity came forward, the scope and the scale of what I've done from my family to working professionally to working with students, I see this as a next opportunity to impact Ohio on a larger scale. And I look forward to serving.
You were actually noted for your community work, I believe, in 2015, named by the Dayton Business Journal as one of the 40 under 40.
Yes.
Tell us about that honor.
I was so surprised by it and so grateful. So in 2015, I was a part of Dayton Chamber of Commerce Leadership Dayton, and through that met a lot of great people. And the person who nominated me for that, Leadership Dayton, also nominated me for the 40 under 40 with Dayton Business Journal. And at the time, I was working inside the community to reach their goals, and a part of that was working with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base on their sexual assault and curriculum to teach their advocates how to work with people who have been sexually assaulted, also to engage their leadership on what sexual assault is, how you can notice it, and what the behavioral changes were with that. So through that, and then additional community engagement opportunities, working with the opioid epidemic and working inside a classroom and making sure there was Lego League, you know, putting these people together, culminated in me being chosen for that award. And I was very grateful and surprised. There were quite a few people that year. And so I was in awe of the people that I was with.
Let me just ask, because when you got involved with the work with sexual abuse or assault, that was a big issue at the base during that time and really years before.
Yes.
Tell me, how do you think they've progressed?
I think overall how we've all progressed is that before it was swept under the rug. And now we're actually acknowledging that this does occur, and it occurs more frequently than people anticipate, both men and women. And in order to move forward and to grow personally and professionally and in our region, we need to acknowledge that sexual assault does happen. And what can we do to better ourselves on a personal level if this has happened to you so that you can be the person you need to be in a healthy environment? And then professionally, you know, reaching out to the people in leadership so we can acknowledge what this looks like and how a person might change in behavior, and so that we can give them the support needed in order for them to progress and also to be self-aware as a leader so that we can impact others around us.
A lot of your work in the community, I understand, is about developing partnerships.
Yes.
Is that correct? Can you tell me how you do that and how those skills will translate into representing the 40th District?
Yes. So I have worked in partnerships my entire life. When you work in human services, you never work alone. You're a member of a multidisciplinary team, and you work for the independence of that person, right? So that's just in human services. But when you're working on a goal, it's very similar. So ultimately, communities come together to achieve a goal, and they have a desired need. You specify what that goal is, and then you bring the parties together to work towards that goal. And it's not been about political party. It's been about active members in the community that we can really move that forward. And so when that happens, it's beautiful. And knowing that, you know, sometimes it looks like a very small goal. So, for instance, the Adams Board worked on mental health first aid. And that really became a part of one of the projects I worked on because it was built out of a rapport and a relationship that I had with the Adams Board and knowing what their need was and bringing the right people in the room. And so once that grant was received overall from SAMHSA, then when that grant was received, it went out to the community and people became trained on mental health first aid, which was great. But really, that was only the start of the program. And now Adams Board works very closely on prevention. So I just played a very small role in bringing people together in order to move the community forward in that. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that process. And I know that when we have the right people in the room and when we're able to listen, truly listen and discover what innovative practices can happen, we can be unstoppable. Right now, we are quality of life in Ohio. We're ranked 40th out of 50 states. We can improve. We can do better for the citizens in Ohio. We can do better for our neighbors and our children. And a part of that is working together and working on these mutually beneficial goals.
Great. Before we wrap up, I'd want to ask you, I understand you're a third generation resident of the 40th District.
I am.
Just tell me about that and a little bit about your family.
Oh, I would love to. I'm very proud of my family. My grandfather, he actually purchased the home I live in now. And he had a major impact on my life. Actually, he brought me to my first political engagement. We saw the president, Ronald Reagan, at Courthouse Square when I was 7, held me on his shoulders. It was amazing. And he introduced me to things like the Rotary Club and Rotary International, where I was an exchange student. So I am very much was my grandfather's first grandbaby, right? Unfortunately, he passed away after a long bout with Alzheimer's. And but our family is incredibly strong, and my mother was raised here as well, and myself, and then my children. 3 years ago, we purchased the house, my grandparents' house, and have been rehabbing it and just really enjoying where we're at. Nothing compares to being home. As much as you can go away, you always come home. And so being that third generation and raising the fourth and knowing that I want them to stay and be a part of this community and showing them how to grow deep roots here is incredibly important to me.
Ryan, Rebecca Taylor, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity.